please turn to the book of Obadiah. Obadiah, we'll read verses 10 through 14 together. We'll read this passage responsively. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldst not have looked on the day of thy brother, the day that he became a stranger, neither shouldst thou have rejoiced for the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, neither shouldst thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldst not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, neither have laid hands on the substances in the day of their calamity. Let's finish on verse 14 together. Ready? Neither shouldst thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldst thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. I'll read yet one other verse to you. You need not turn there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place. Lord, to hear our people sing praises back to you, what a wonderful thing. And yet to hear these hundreds and hundreds of people read your word aloud, what a beautiful thing. I believe you're pleased. And yet, in just a moment, the highlight will be here, the preaching of the word of God. Now fill our preacher with your power, please. May we be filled with your power to listen. Change us so we could go out and change this world, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated.
There's a passage of scripture in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. You'll not need to turn to it. I promise you, as I read, it'll come from the King James Bible. It says, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. A heavenly host at the birth of Jesus Christ made that statement together. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. God wants peace in our churches. There's no doubt about that. God wants peace. It says here, goodwill toward men. You'll notice in my preaching, I work a lot on, I want to maintain the spirit that our church has. I heard someone saying to one of our visitors, they'd come to visit, and someone said, well, are you coming back for another service? And this was a visitor from out of town, I mean some distance away. And they said, yes, we'll be back. And I heard our member say, well, you're going to have to be careful. If you come back, you'll get bit by the bug. And he said, bit by the bug, yeah, there's a bug around here. You come to our church too many times, you'll fall in love with it because of the spirit here. And it's awful easy to get bit by the bug around here. Well, we have a spirit. We had an attitude. There's something special about our church. The Bible says here that God wants us to have peace. He wants us to have goodwill toward men. The people in the church ought to want to have goodwill toward one another. You know, out in the world, there's all sorts of fussing and fighting and revenge and gossip and backstabbing and backbiting and two-faced people. The world's packed full of that. The last thing in the world they want to do is come to the church and face it here. They would have thought that this would be a haven. They would have thought that this was a place where that would not take place. That's what we want. So, I'm constantly pushing the reset button, making sure we just stay on track. I don't want to practice breakdown maintenance. I want to practice preventive maintenance. I want to fix things before there's a problem. I don't want to wait until there's a fuss in the church and this group of people can't get along with this group of people. I want to fix it. When I see the storm clouds arise on the horizon, I want to get ready for rain. I want to fix everything up. I want to make sure that we're not shocked. And I want to make sure our behavior is becoming of Christians. one of the passages of Scripture that Brother Bush read to us this evening, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. It says, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." Again, what an excellent verse in regard to the way Christians ought to teach one another. It says, "Be ye kind one toward another." We ought to be kind to one another. There's no doubt about that. It says, "Tenderhearted." Let me ask you a question. Are you tenderhearted? Are you tender-hearted? That's what the Bible teaches. I believe our Savior was a man's man. I believe He's a rugged man. I believe when you can lay your hands down and have great nails driven all the way through your hands and speak not a word, you're a pretty tough cookie. He was a tough man. He was a strong man. He wasn't some long-haired, sissified-looking fellow like all them pictures show him. He was a tough man. He was a big, powerful, tough man, but also, I believe he was a tender man. And the Bible teaches us that we're to be kind one toward another, and we're to be tender-hearted toward one another. We're to forgive one another. You need to learn to be forgiving. Now look, every one of us is going to have our feelings hurt. Every last one of us, we're human beings, we're sinners, we're going to have our feelings hurt. How great of a Christian you are is dependent on how long it takes you to get over the feelings hurt. But every one of us is going to have our feelings hurt. You men on staff, someday I'm going to say something to you and it's going to hurt your feelings. Like Mother Tennis, you're fired. I'm just kidding you. We're going to keep you because we need Mrs. Tennis. But you know, men on staff, I'm going to say something someday. It's going to hurt you. It's not my intent. But how good a Christian you are depends on how long it's going to take you to get over it. There's some of you, when something happens, and because we're human, it's bound to happen. But boy, that gets in your crawl, and it bothers you and bothers you. Some of you husbands and wives, it takes you days and weeks to make up. It shows you how good a Christian you are. A good Christian comes to their senses pretty quick because they're surrendered to the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God will remind them of Ephesians 4:32, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another." You say, "Why should I forgive?" Because Christ forgave you. God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Well, all of that to say this. When we go to the book of Obadiah, it's a book that's not used very much. One of the smaller books of the Old Testament. We read a little passage of Scripture about 4 or 5 verses earlier. There's not much known about this prophet by the name of Obadiah. I know this. I know that the definition of his name is servant. Obadiah was a servant. But the book's theme has to do with this. There was some cruelty and some unbrotherly-like conduct between the Edomites and the people of God, or the Hebrews. The Edomites were descendants of Esau, the son of Isaac. They were to be relatives to God's people. Esau married an Ishmaelite woman, and the Edomite race was born. The people of Israel and the Edomites were to be on the same team, but the Edomites were cruel to God's people. And this cruelty is what the book of Obadiah is really all about. So you've got these two people, two races in a sense, two families, if you will. They're really part of one big family. They all should be on the same team. But somehow, one half decided they were going to be unkind and cruel to the other half. The Edomites, which were the misbehaving half of this this unit, the Edomites aided the enemy in plundering the people of Jerusalem and murdering the people. They were going into their homes and stealing things. The Edomites joined up with a group of people called the Moabites in an invasion. The Edomites even helped and cheered when the king's son of Jerusalem was put to death. They were being, and in the book of Obadiah, these people called the Edomites, they were being punished. They were being disciplined by God because they were not getting along with their brother. They were not getting along with the group of people that they were supposed to treat right and to those that they were to do right by. I believe this. It's sad, and some of you have heard this statement before. I preach a whole sermon about it. But they say the Christian army is the only one that kills its own wounded. Boy, somebody is a good Christian and doing right. And it's a funny thing. You just let that somebody stumble and watch how many people will jump on their back to try to take them down like a pack of hyenas. Now, I've got a problem with that. I really do. The Christian army is the only one that kills their own wounded. Now, listen to me, folks. Now, all of us are going to be wounded at one time or another. We're not to try to take each other down when the devil is trying to knock us down. We're to be there to help each other get up. So I tell you what I've done. I've decided that this place is going to be like the hospital. And those who have been knocked down will find a haven and a place where people will build them back up. That's our goal. If you're not interested in that, you're probably in the wrong place. Go stick around, because we wouldn't want you to leave the hospital. You probably need some doctrine. But you see, we need to help people. And let's not be a part of that Christian army, so-called, that destroys or kills their own wounded. A family who is hurting desperately. A family that is not from this area. They called me and said, we're moving our family to your church. I met with them after they moved, and I talked with them. And let me tell you what I said to them. I said to that, especially to this man's wife who had been through some tough times, I said, I promise you, you're safe now. You just crawl inside the boundaries and the walls of this church, and we're going to keep you safe. Let me tell you all something. I want to keep the people in this building safe. We ought to all want to keep one another safe. Yes, we're going to do wrong. Yes, we're going to make mistakes. Yes, we're going to sin. But let's be careful that we don't hurt one another when someone is hurt themselves. I wish that you could believe this. Whoever you are here today, you're safe now. You're safe now. Your preacher will rise up and defend your safety. Say, but Brother Owens, I brought the problem on myself. I know. I brought problems on myself, to myself so many times. But I want this to be a haven. I want it to be a place where it is a sanctuary for those that are hurting. I want people to know that you go down there to that church, you'll preach hard, but you'll be safe. If you're here today, I want you to know, if I have my way, you're safe now. It's going to be okay. We'll figure out how to heal you, get you back on your feet. You'll be productive again. And always remember, if you're still breathing air, that means God still has a purpose for your life. And you're looking at a man that has the purpose, I believe, of Jesus Christ to help everybody to fulfill their purpose for Him. If you're alive, it means God still wants to use you, no matter how bad you've messed up. But this story of the Edomites, they were supposed to be brethren to the Hebrews, but they rejoiced when the Hebrews fell. They were glad when the Hebrews were attacked. They unified with the enemy and attacked their brothers. They were glad when the king's son fell. They were glad when the king's house was pillaged. That's bad Christianity. Listen, folks, bottom line is, let's have peace. Let's have goodwill toward men. Let's make sure that we don't mistreat people. Don't mistreat people. Let me tell you what I mean. Don't mistreat the new Christians in our church. You see, new Christians, they've just now been born again. They're like infants. They're like babies. Hey, a new Christian may cry around a little bit, because that's what babies do. You know, a baby, you take a baby after a baby's eaten, you flip that little dude over your shoulder, get him a couple wax on the back, he'll bark all down the back of you. That's what babies do. A baby will dirty a diaper. You might say, Brother Owens, we've got this new Christian in our church, and I tell you, they're acting like a baby. Right. Babies act like babies. I don't say that to belittle the infant in Christianity. I say that to protect them. Absolutely. Now, when you go to burp a baby and that baby soils your top, do we get mad? Do we want to throw the baby away? No, we know that is a part of rearing a child. It's part of it. Now, you listen to me. If this church is going to be the kind of church that rears young Christians, we're going to have to be willing to get some soiled diapers along the way. We have to put up with a bad attitude every once in a while. But those of you who have been around for a little while, you ought to know that a young Christian is going to have some misbehavior. So what do we do to the young Christians? You be kind.
You be friendly. You say, but Brother Owens, I know they're not living right. Well, there was a day when you weren't perfect. And you all had to grow. But let's not mistreat the new Christians. They formed some habits. And I'm not just talking about a new Christian that's 12 years old. I'm talking about we're going to have some new Christians join our church, and they're going to be in their 20s and their 30s and their 40s, grown adults. But all their life, they have formed some bad habits. And they need some help. They need some patience. They need someone to help them and love them because they're just getting started in their new life. I don't need you to preach all the standards of life to them. Why don't you let me do it from the pulpit? I'll be careful. I'll feed them at the right time. And let me teach them. You know what I really like to do? I like to teach people before I preach it. Now, after I teach you something, get ready. I'll be preaching on it, hitting on it every once in a while. But people deserve a right to be taught why we believe what we believe. I don't think there's anything wrong with a new Christian saying, so why do we believe that? When someone asks a question, does it mean that they're a rebel? It might mean they'd like to learn. And so don't mistreat the new Christians. Hey, maybe someone join our church, and if you're a new Christian, we believe the Bible teaches it's not best that you smoke. It's not a good idea. If God intended for you to smoke, He would have put a smokestack on top of your head. And obviously, it's not there. And so, we teach you shouldn't smoke. But let me tell you something. When you see some new Christian in our church, and they've got them a Camel, and it's sticking out of their mouth, and you see them, you be careful how you treat them. You be careful. Hey, some of them have better attitudes than some of you have been around for years. They're not doing something in blatant rebellion. They don't know. They need to be taught. They've got some habits they must conquer. And let me say to every Christian in this room, your preacher will be patient with you while you overcome those habits. Now, there's somebody been in the church for years and you still got those bad habits. It's time for you to knock it off and fly right and get your heart right with God. Stop making excuses. But to the infant, I say, hang in there. We want to help you. We want to be good to you. Listen, if some new Christian comes in here on Sunday morning and they've got a bad attitude, I mean, they're just walking around with that sour look on their face. They're mad at the whole world. Listen, they're just getting started. They're just learning. They don't know. And you need to be patient. You need to stop and realize, now look, they're a brand new Christian. Evidently, they've had a rough moment. They've had a rough time. Be friendly to them. Be kind to them. Now, for some of you, been in the church for years, and you walk in with your bad attitude, it's time for you to just knock it off and fly right. But look, you say, Brother Owens, there's these brand new people in our church, and they just don't understand you. Well, I don't even understand me. Give them a break. You're going to meet some people, when they first get here, they're just not going to like me. I'm a very straightforward kind of a guy. They're going to say, boy, oh my. That doesn't mean you have to get them in a headlock and do a body slam on them in the restroom or something. Be gentle. Because that doesn't mean you have to be disloyal. That doesn't mean that you have to side with them. But it does mean, look, when you don't like me, I can handle that. I'm going to try to love you anyway. I'm not the issue here. Jesus Christ is the issue here. And when new people come to our church, and at first glance, there's something they don't understand, let's be patient. Let's give them a chance to grow. Let's give them a chance to adjust to their new life. Speaking of adjustment, I like this. I feel like my body has gotten totally out of shape. So I got my doctor's permission to join a fitness club and start exercising. I decided to take an aerobics class for seniors. I bent, I twisted, I grunted, I groaned, I jumped up, I jumped down, and I perspired for an hour. By the time I got my leotards on, the class was over, so I gave up. Look, you got to give yourself a chance to adjust. Look, When new people come around, let me tell you something. When new people come around, they look at this church and this preacher like a calf looking at a new gate. I'm excited about it. I'm excited when they say, I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense to me. If they come in here and they look like a motley crew and you say, boy, they got some bad habits, Brother Owen, the way they talk, the way they are, that's a good sign, folks. That means we're reaching young Christians. You show me any church in America where the whole flock is all cleaned up and groomed up and they look spit shine, I'll show you a lazy church. A church ought to have a bunch of people around that are new to Christianity, that don't know all the ins and outs. You've got a lazy group of Pharisees in a church when everybody's cleaned up and as slick as a whistle. I'm glad we have some people a little rough around the edges. Let's never stop having that. Let's have it. But don't mistreat the new Christians. Hey, don't mistreat the lost. You've heard me say this before. Your life may be the only Bible that some ever read. Let's make sure they read a pure one. Be good to lost people. Do you know something? When a lost person sins, that's the best they can do.
Right.
Now, as saved, when we get saved, we have the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit of God, which lives within us. We can improve ourselves through His power. But lost people, they're going to die and go to hell. And they're going to spend their life sinning. So be careful how you treat lost people who do not have Christ, because be careful how you treat them in regard to their behavior. Don't cause the lost to reject Jesus because they think He's as unkind as you. Learn how to get along with them. Some of you with your family members, learn how to get along with them. Your behavior may be a determining factor on their salvation, just by the way you behave. It's not easy to win family members. If you have lost family members, don't be unkind to them. Don't mistreat them. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Those of you who work, I'll tell you something that will show powerful Christianity when the people that you work with start getting saved. Why? Because they're with you 8 hours a day. You'll know when you're making a real impact. When those around you, they are convinced that you're real. They say, you know what, I'd like to have a dose of what you have. Where do I get it? And you say, you get it from Jesus Christ. You come out to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. You see, when the people you work with begin to realize that you're a pure and a real born-again Christian, and you begin to make an impact, that's when you're really doing something right. So let's make sure that the lost around us, that we're, let's not mistreat them. Let's have goodwill toward man. Let's create some peace on earth. And so I say to you, let's not mistreat the new Christians. I say to you, let's not mistreat the lost. Hey, let's not mistreat the hurting. Boy, would I like for you to learn this. This is something that I am learning, and I want you to learn it as well. You know, let's be careful. I tell you this all the time. Don't judge someone's illness. Don't judge someone's sickness. You have this belief that if somebody's sick, that it's the judgment of God. That's not true. That's not true. And even if it was true, you don't know that it's true. Only God knows why I am sick. Only God knows why you are sick. And the Bible clearly teaches that some people have illness to the glory of God, not because they have not glorified Him. You just take the story of Job. Job, he was an honest man, a decent man. The sickness came to him. Why? Because God said, I have a purpose behind this. And when you look at somebody's life, and they're going through a tough time because of illness, and you say, that's God getting them. You don't know that. You don't know that, and that's not fair. And when you talk like that, that's called gossip. That's called slander. That's called backstabbing. And I don't want our people to do that. Don't you go around this church looking at somebody's life, and when you see illness or you see pain and say, God's getting them. You don't know who God's getting. That's up to God. And even if God was getting them, God doesn't say in the Bible, if I'm getting somebody, you're to jump on them and chop them down. But you'll never know. You'll never know. So you say, Brother Owens, how do you deal with someone's sickness? Well, I care about them. I want them to be healed. I want them to get better. I don't want them to be sick. You say, everybody? Yeah, everybody. Everybody. Why? Because I don't know the difference. And I would rather be wrong by being too right.
Amen. Yes, sir. Good. Amen.
Wonder how many people we hurt because we judge their sickness. And let it be known to every person in this building, the day that you fall sick, this preacher is not going to say, see, God's getting them. God's punishing them. No, you're looking at a preacher that's going to say, I'm going to pray for you. I'm sorry you're not well, and I hope you get better soon. You see, I want a church where the people are safe. And I don't worry so much about what the people on the outside are going to do. I'm worried about how some of us can behave on the inside. Don't mistreat the hurting, those who are sick. Hey, don't mistreat somebody that's going through heartache and heartbreak. Listen, it's so easy for us. We see heartbreak in a family. It's so easy for us to pass judgment on people. Well, have they done this better? Have they done that better? You know something, really, that's none of your business. And you don't know why somebody's hurting. And there's more than one side of every story. And so many times you don't know, you know so very little. When somebody's going through a heartbreak, when somebody's got a heartache, hey, let's not attack them. Let's not be unkind to them. Let's not gossip about them. You ruin people that way. It's wrong when you do that. Let's not judge somebody's heartaches. Let's not mistreat the hurting. You know, when somebody's got a heartbreak in their family, you know, they don't need us to attack them. They need us to care about them. They need us to uplift them. You know, I've learned something. I've learned that hurting people sometimes have bad attitudes. Y'all know what? You ever smash your thumb with a hammer? Now, how many of you, when you smash your thumb with a hammer, say, well, praise God, that feels good. Oh, woo, I'm going to do it again. No, not at all. What do you say, John, when you smash? No, don't say it, John. No, when you smash your thumb with a hammer, one of the first things I do is punish the hammer. You gotta throw the hammer down. The stupid thing's what hit you. Then it helps if you fling your thumb around for a little while. You do this. You try not to say anything. And if you're going to say something, look around and see if anybody's going to hear it. You know, when somebody's hurt, there's sometimes that initial attitude's tough. You know something I've learned? I've learned when people are hurting, sometimes they get short with you. Sometimes they become brash. Sometimes there's some unkindness that creeps in there. But if I could get you to look past their reaction and look around the reaction and look at the hurt and the pain, some of you get along so much better. So, well, we got this one lady in our church. I wonder if you know everything that that lady's been through. Well, this man, he just walks in and he never talks to anybody. Did you know he lost his wife? Did you know that he cries himself to sleep at night? And yes, he's not real sociable right now, and I think he should be. But let me say something. Sometimes when we hurt, we react, and we don't react the way that we should. But I think it'd be good if some of us could look beyond the reaction and see the pain and the hurt. You see, I don't want us to mistreat the hurting. Let's not mistreat somebody that's sick. Let's not mistreat somebody with a heartache. Sometimes hurting people, it's not what you think. They're not mad at you. There are so many people, through the years, I've learned, there are so many people, they react to my preaching, but you want to know the truth? They're not mad at me. They're just hurt. Some of you, you'll say, Brother Owens, I don't see how you can love me and be so patient with me the way I've acted toward you. Let me tell you why. Because behind some of your hearts, I see how bad you hurt. You're not mad at me. It's not me that you're angry with. I just happened to be there at a moment when some of that toughness leaked out. Nah, you're just hurt. The past creeps into the present. We strike out at someone. We walk away saying, I shouldn't have done that. And I know that. Wouldn't it be good if all of us could realize that? Wouldn't it be good that all of us could remember the past of someone and maybe there's some hurt, maybe there's a heartache, maybe there's some real tough things that they've had to face. Hey, let's not mistreat the hurting. Now, to those of you that have been hurt, I am not trying to justify your misbehavior. Some of you need to sweeten your attitudes. Some of you need to get your hurt under control and not take it out on everybody else. I'm not trying to justify that. But sometimes I think a rough disposition is the result of a tough position that they've been in. Again, I just can't get my heart and mind off of Edith Shepherd. And not long ago, Brother Frank Shepherd, one of the finest men that ever walked the face of the earth, went to heaven. I was sitting with Edith and the family in the afternoon of Brother Frank's homegoing, and this is what I said to all of them. I said, "Now listen to me. You just lost a loved one. Make sure you give everybody a free pass in regard to attitude, because it might be that somebody gets a little tense or a little feisty. It might be in the next couple of days that somebody snaps a little bit and gets a little angry." I said, "When that happens, just remember something. Everybody's hurting. And let's look beyond the reaction and realize we just lost somebody that we love. And sometimes it affects our emotions. But listen, let's not mistreat those people who are hurting in our church. Let's not mistreat the new Christian. Let's not mistreat the lost. Let's not mistreat the hurting. The Edomites were glad when the Hebrews were being hurt. And God said, no, I want you to have peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Be ye kind one to another." Hey, don't mistreat people's families. Let me tell you what I mean by that. If you don't like some man in our church, don't take it out on his son. First of all, you shouldn't be going around saying, "Well, I just don't like him. I just don't like her." To me, I don't understand that. I can say to my wife, I said, "Honey, I don't understand somebody making that statement. I just don't like." That doesn't make sense to me. It's hard for me to fathom Christians going around saying, "I just don't like this person. I just don't like that person." I thought we were supposed to love everybody. Now, I'm a fundamentalist, and I'll preach it straight, and I'll preach it hard, but I love people. If my worst enemy needed a meal today, I would feed him in a moment. This I just don't like. But listen, let's not be unfair. If you don't like a brother Bush, well, don't be unkind to one of his children. For that's virtually criminal in my eyes. How low down. Let me tell you how low down the devil is. I'll tell you how low down he is. He went after God's son to get at God. That's low down. The devil's beef was not with you and me. The devil comes after you and me because we're God's child, and the devil knows he can hurt God by hurting God's kids. That's how low down the scumball is. I wish I could really tell you everything I feel about him. But I don't talk like that anymore. Mrs. Owens does. But I don't. Hey, if you don't like a man, don't mistreat his son. If you don't like some lady, don't mistreat their child. I'm talking to you about some decent Christianity. Don't mistreat someone's wife because you dislike the husband. Or don't mistreat someone's husband because you dislike a wife. Pastor told me of how one of his children was being mistreated in a nursery because a church member was angry with him about something he preached in the pulpit. How low down could someone be that if they dislike the pastor, they would mistreat an infant child? If you're like that, you're very petty.
Yes, sir.
I can't imagine God being pleased. How could we launch an attack on innocent people when our problem is with another? That makes no sense to me. That's wrong. And if somehow that's in your thinking, you need to get it out. And you need to get it right. Let's be careful. Let's not mistreat others in a family. Hey, let's not mistreat people whose personalities differ from ours. You know, not anybody's alike. Everybody's different. You say, well, so then whose personality is the right one?
the personality of Jesus Christ is the right one. And all of us are to be having the personality of Christ formed in us. You know, let's see, Brother Hart, I'm going to use this mic right here. By the way, I like old time classics. I like to watch the old time classic videos and DVDs. And my son Jeff got me a bunch of them for Christmas. That's how I unwind. I watch Mayberry RFD and Gilligan's Island. And he got me some Abbott and Costello. Do you know who Brother Hart looks like? Have you ever noticed that? It's true. Honestly, it's true. Okay, back to the preaching. Don't mistreat people because their personality differs from yours. Not everybody's alike, and we're not supposed to be alike. We're all going to be a little different. God made us different. You say, well, whose personality is the right personality? The personality of Christ. And I am to be allowing Christ to be formed in me. Now, He's still working on me. I'm sorry. I'm not everything I'm supposed to be. I'm trying. And let's all try. But listen, the personality of Dr. Craig Bush is totally different than that of Matt Smith. Totally different. I mean, Brother Smith is like a Mexican jumping bean. He is full of energy, and Brother Bush is a little more normal, seasoned. Yeah, that's it. A little more seasoned. Look, Brother Nash, come up here. There is nobody like him. We've got the designer model. After they made him, they broke the mold and threw it away. And God said, we ain't never making another one of those. He's different. But you say, well, you know, the way he is, that just bothers me. Well, you know what? Maybe the way you are bothers us, but we're putting up with you. No, he's not like everybody else. Have a seat there, Brother Nash. Brother Young, come up here. This guy's got an exciting personality. This is one of the most steady men you'll ever meet in your life. Steady, consistent. Now, Brother Nash, come up here. These two guys could probably drive each other batty if they spent too much time in the same room. They're different. Brother Young, he's a deeply intelligent person. He's got a commercial pilot's license? He's got a commercial pilot's license. He works well under pressure. You get him way up there, he's got all these dials and knobs and gauges. I wouldn't fly on a plane anywhere with Brother Nash. No way. Thank you, fellas. They're different. You've got to be careful. You look at somebody's personality, and somehow we pass judgment on them. We say, well, I just don't like their personality. Well, you need to look past a little bit of it and realize that's God's child. And not everybody's alike. Not everybody's going to be alike. But we don't want to mistreat people because of their personality. Some are quiet. Well, you be patient with them, and you love them. Some are louder. You be patient with them. They're a part of our church and you love them. Some have a strong personality. You need to love them and you need to realize they're a part of the body of Christ. Some have a weak personality. But I'm telling you folks, every last one of us that are born again, every last one of us is a member of this church. We've got to learn to get along. We've got to be understanding of one another and don't mistreat somebody because their personality differs to yours or differs yours. Let's not mistreat the untrained fallen. Let's not mistreat the untrained fallen. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Owens? New people, as they come into our church and they're attempting to serve Christ, they're going to fall into sin. Our new church members have not had all the training that some of you have. Do you realize that for a new church member that does not have a bunch of training, for them to fall into a particular sin could be less troublesome to God than when you do? Look, if you've been in a Christian school all your life, or you've been sitting under the preaching of this ministry for years, you go out and you waste your life, that's big. You take somebody that just got saved a week ago and they go do some of the same dumb things that you do, you're going to have to understand something. They've not had all the opportunity, nor are they as responsible as you are. So when the new people, when they fall,
and they make a mess of their life. Let's not mistreat them. Don't mistreat a new Christian that messes up. Do you understand what success is? Success is a series of failures. Everybody fails, and they fail, and they fail, and they fail, and they fail, and finally they succeed. So let's allow people. I'm not condoning failure. I'm condoning success, but I happen to know one of the ingredients of success is failure. So when the new Christians in our church fall flat on their face, let's help them up. Don't push them down. You find out Brother Owens is tough on gossip. I've got a whole sermon I'll preach at the beginning of the year on it. I hate it with passion. I just hate it. You don't realize how you can hurt people if you talk bad. You just don't realize. Look, the devil's crowd will spread enough bad news that need our help. I had some, now you listen to choir members. I had somebody come tell me they're going to resign the choir if one of you in the choir don't keep your mouth shut during choir practice. I actually had somebody come tell me that. I'm saddened by that. They said, I'm going to resign the choir because I do not want to sit near the person I'm sitting by because they talk all the time. Now, Bill, fuck it off! Didn't mean to wake you up there, Bill. How sad. How sad to think that somebody wouldn't want to sit in a choir because during choir, people making little remarks that are snide and unkind. That's going to stop. It's going to stop. You see, you're being mean? No, look, if my personality differs from yours, you've got to look past that. It's sad to me to think that someone would be afraid to come to the church because of what somebody might say or what somebody has said. Now, we've got to be careful that when the young Christians in our church take a fall, that they know that they're safe coming back. They know that if they come back, they'll be given another chance. They don't need to be the topic of your conversation while you're sitting down at Cracker Barrel. They don't need to be the topic of your conversation over your telephone, over your cell phone, or in your home. That's not what they need. They need to know that you're going to love them and realize they're young Christians and they need patience and they need someone to love them and help them get back on their feet. I say to you, don't mistreat. Don't mistreat the new Christian. Don't mistreat the lost. Don't mistreat the hurting. Don't mistreat someone's family because you don't like them. Don't mistreat those whose personality differs from yours. Don't mistreat the untrained who fall. Hey, don't mistreat the well-trained who fall. Don't mistreat the well-trained who fall. There's somebody in this church. I don't know who it is. It could be any one of us. There's somebody in this church who's been in church for years. Everybody expects the best out of you. You're revered in the church. You're known as a separated Christian. You go soul winning. You're in church all the time. But somebody in this church is going to fall. And you're somebody at the church. Now, I think it'd be real sad if somebody that had given their life to the church and worked hard and been faithful for years, when they fall, that the rest of us kick them while they're down. Do you know that people can make some pretty dumb mistakes, but they can get back on track? Let's not drive the people away if they've been in the church for years and they make a mistake, and here's what you say. They should have known better. All of us know better. Say how? Well, you got a Bible. You got a Holy Spirit. You got a God. You've got a conscience. How many times have you messed up? How many times have you done wrong and you knew better? Boy, we can just climb on and drive them right out of the church. Drive them right out. Let's just run them out of the church. Let's talk bad about them long enough. Let's hurt them enough. Let's spread stuff about them long enough. Listen to me. Whether they're brand new Christians in the church or brand old Christians in the church, they need a church full of people that love them, that say, you're still worth salvaging. Let us help you with your life. We expect the best out of those that have been around a while. Let me tell you something. The devil works pretty hard. The higher up the totem pole of leadership you go, the harder the devil's going to work to get you to fall because there's so many people watching you. Let's help the Christian school kids that make mistakes. You know what we'll do? We'll get some of these young people around here, and they come in on our bus routes. and we just love them to death, and they're trying so hard, and boy, they'll make mistakes, and Sunday school teachers will be patient with them and love them and say, boy, we understand. And then one of our kids, one of our good kids, they make a mistake and they do wrong, and everybody wants to turn their back on them and say, well, they've been in the Christian school for years, they ought to know better. We all ought to know better. But hey, one of our Christian school academy kids deserves just as much patience and kindness and belief as some bus kid. And the bus kid deserves it too. Let's not mistreat those who have been trained well but have fallen. Let's not mistreat our enemies. I won't stay on this for long. But you're supposed to love your enemy. You're to do good to those who despitefully use you. Hey, I'll tell you something. It's real easy to say amen when I talk about treating your enemy right. It's real easy to say amen when you're not having a problem with an enemy. But when you are, that's when you have to live it. Usually the amens in the auditorium fluctuate as to who says them. Anybody that's not fussing with an enemy at the time says, amen! Oh, but when the enemy comes your way and you got it, then the guy beside you, the one, has to say amen next time because you're too busy fighting your enemy. You know what the Bible teaches? The Bible teaches a gift in secret pacifies anger. What's it talking about? Getting gifts and kindnesses to your enemies. You mean spend my hard-earned money on that dog-faced slime-back jerkweed? What are you talking about? Talk about good Christianity. Good Christianity. Let's not mistreat our enemies. Let's not, and this is where I'm going to stop, don't mistreat the mistreaters. Don't mistreat the mistreaters. Let's not misbehave like the misbehaviors. Don't lower yourself to their tactics. What are you talking about, Brother Owens? Don't criticize the criticizers. Let's not hate the haters. Let's not slander the slanderers. Let's not attack the attackers. Let's not be rude to those that are being rude when they've been asked not to. See, I could see how someone would handle it. New Christian walks into our church. One of our members goes up and they're rude to that new Christian. And you see it. So you decide you're going to take care of it. And you walk over to the one that was rude and says, well, that's great, you idiot. Did the preacher just tell you not to be rude to people? Don't be unkind to the unkind. Don't snub the snubber. Is that a word? It is now. Don't be arrogant to the arrogant. Don't sling mud at the mudslinger. Don't try to justify your poor behavior on the basis of someone else's. You've not been hired to be the marshal of everybody's attitudes. You just take care of yours, and we'll let them take care of theirs. Wonder how many people I've seen who gossip about the gossiper. I know a man in America that was, I think, doing very wrong with the way he was handling himself. I think he was gossiping. But I can tell you this, I don't attack that man. He was a preacher. I don't think he's doing right. I watched all sorts of preachers attacking the preacher that was attacking. And my head was spinning. And so was the lay sectors of all their churches. Let's just have peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Let's be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. The Edomites should have never been attacking the Hebrews. They should have never been doing that. Why? They were mistreating them. I think another so-called Christmas message, if you've listened, this is how you keep peace in a church that's growing. An old-time gospel church. If we'll live like this, it'll help us all to live in peace. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.